Throughout the month of August, I'm having a series of messages called Wrestling with God. Because we all wrestle with God, at least I know I do. I've been wrestling with God all my life. I wrestle with the Scriptures, trying to figure out what they really mean and how to interpret them and how to apply them to my life. And I know that there are some people who say, oh, you just need to read it and it's pretty self-evident. And the Bible does speak to me, that's true, but I'm not sure that I have that much confidence in my interpretation of Scriptures, because sometimes you can read the Bible and read into it what you want and not what God wants. And so I have to struggle with the Scriptures. Sometimes I struggle with my past, and I wrestle with that, because I have had a past. I've made mistakes. I've hurt the people that I love. I've been hurt by people. So I have to struggle with my own sense of guilt, and I have to struggle with my own ability to forgive others. Sometimes that's not easy, and sometimes it's something that I have to do over and over again. I'm one of those people that's pretty good at burying the hatchet, but I always leave the handle sticking up so I can get to it anytime I need to, you know. You have to remember where it is. That's not complete forgiveness, and it's something that I have to struggle with, and by your laughter, I'm thinking maybe you do too. Sometimes I struggle with my faith. I can easily say what I believe. I can even say it with conviction. And I can say it from the bottom of my heart. But what do I do when the chips are down? Am I really willing to risk everything for what I say I believe? When it seems like everything that I say I believe isn't true in the moment, do I trust that God is still working there anyway? That is something that I wrestle with. And there have been times when I have struggled with my calling. I first felt the call to the ministry when I was 16 years old. And then later on, I went off to college. I got a liberal arts degree, and you know, that's like poison to a faith system. And by the time I graduated from college, I was an agnostic. And I lived, you know, a number of years before I found my way back into the church and into a way of growing in my faith. And I began to understand that everything that I had learned about the world is not necessarily in opposition to God's laws, but in harmony with it if we really look at them with the eyes of faith. And so that's something that I have to struggle with, is my calling. Now I have to tell you something. I'm not the only one in the room with a calling. I've been called to the ministry of Word and Sacrament. That's a special ministry in the church. But all of us are ministers. All of us are called to Christian ministry. And my hope is that you struggle with your calling like I have as well. For the next four Sundays, I want to talk about the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Cole, if you could just put that picture up there, and it's on your bulletin as well. It's a wonderful piece of art by a man named Baumgartner. I called him up to ask permission to use his art in this series, and he readily gave me permission. But we had a great conversation about what it meant, and he didn't tell me what it meant as much as just asked me what it meant to me. And I look at that picture and I see myself. Well, I'm not ripped like Jacob is in this picture, but I still see myself struggling with God. Do you struggle with God? Would you struggle with God? Won't you struggle with God? It is so easy for us to just take the teachings that have been handed down to us without thought or without question and just hold on to them like that. But where's the struggle in that? It would be so easy just to reject the things that we learned as children, like God will take care of you. And as soon as things start happening in our lives, and things always happen in our lives, we just say, oh, that's not true. And it's easy to reject things just because life isn't that evident that God's ways are the ways of this world. But God wants us to struggle with that. And God speaks to each and every one of us in that still small voice that says, I am yours and you are mine. I have claimed you by the waters of your baptism and I have work for you to do. And God wants you to hear that, and listen to it, and struggle with it. So struggling with God is a holy exercise. Struggling with God is something that God honors. Some people say we need to respect God more than that. We shouldn't be picking a fight with God. I say God's big enough. God's merciful enough. And I think God would rather have us struggle with Him than ignore Him. Or reject Him. Or make fun of Him. Or make Him into something of our own liking. The holy thing to do is to struggle with God. If you know the story of Jacob, you know that he had kind of a spotty life. He wasn't always such a good guy. In fact, he was born struggling. The story tells us, if you read in Genesis, that Jacob had a twin brother named Esau. And Esau was born first, and as Esau came out, immediately behind him comes Jacob, holding on to his heel. And so they called him Jacob, which means heel grabber, which was a portent of things to come because Jacob grew up always trying to grab on to what belonged to Esau. Esau was the firstborn. Everyone expected him to get his birthright. Everyone expected him to get Isaac's blessing. But as the story goes, there comes a time when Esau is coming in from the field after a long hunt, and he's starving to death, and Jacob's sitting there cooking a pot of lentils. Esau says, I'm starving, give me some of that stew. And Jacob says, well, give me your birthright. He says, what is my birthright worth if I'm starving to death? Sure, I'll give it to you. And he traded off his birthright for a bowl of soup. Later on, when it came time for Isaac to give Esau the blessing, with his mother's help, Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing instead. And when Esau found out, he was so enraged, murderously enraged, he swore he was going to kill his brother. And Jacob had to run away to another land. Always that struggle between brothers that should have been so close, and yet they were so far apart. Always this temptation to trick somebody or connive and steal something that doesn't belong to you. And even when he ran off to another land, he met a beautiful girl and started working for her father named Laban. Laban was a bit of a trickster of his own. Between Laban and Jacob, they were always on shaky ground, trying to mess with each other's rightful wages and so forth. Finally, Jacob had had enough after marrying two of his daughters and having some children. He said, it's time for me to leave. And he left in the dead of night without even giving Laban a chance to say goodbye. Such was the life of Jacob, that he was always struggling, always grabbing on, always tricking, always one step ahead of the law. And then there comes this time when he has a dream. He's at the land of Luz, and there Jacob lays down and has a dream. And in that dream, there was a stairway going to heaven, or maybe a ladder or a ramp, or we're not really sure how to interpret that Hebrew word. But imagine a causeway to heaven with the angels coming up and going down. And God renews His covenant with Abraham to Jacob. Your children will be like the dust of the earth, too numerous to count. And the land you are standing on right now will become your land. And Jacob, for his own part, offered his covenant back to God and said, if you will do these things that you tell me, if you will protect me through all of this and grant me these children and this land, then I will be yours and you will be my God and I will worship no one else and I will always give a tenth of whatever I earn. That was the covenant that Jacob had with God. It was really the same covenant that God had with Abraham. But you know what? It's a covenant that we all have to take. We don't inherit a covenant relationship with God. We claim it. We claim it by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's for each and every generation to claim that gift and that covenant relationship. I've heard it said that there are no grandchildren in heaven. There are only sons and daughters. So don't expect to inherit your faith. You claim your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now Jacob, the story of Jacob continues. And on another occasion, he's ready to keep traveling back to the promised land, and word comes to him that Esau is approaching with a company of men. The last time he saw his brother, there was murder in his heart and in his eyes. So Jacob trembles in fear. Remember what I told you about saying what you believe? But when the chips are down, do you really believe it? He had a covenant relationship with God, and God promised to protect him as this promise was being fulfilled. But now that Esau is on his way, Jacob assumes he's about to die. We all struggle with our faith, don't we? We all struggle to trust in God. But let this be a lesson for each of us, that God is true to His Word. But Jacob, always being a good politician, I guess, sends a gift ahead to Esau, hoping to soften his heart so that by the time he got to Jacob, he wouldn't be ready to kill him. He sent his livestock. He sent his wife. He sent his wife's servant. He sent his other wife and his other wife's servant and all their children. Everything he had, he sent on ahead across the Jabbok River to meet Esau in hopes that Esau would spare his life. And so there was Jacob all alone by the ford of the Jabbok River. And he had a crossing of his own to make, as each of us do. Are you ready to cross that? Are you ready to just cross on over to the other side and follow what God has for you to do? Are you ready to trust in Him enough to know that what's lying ahead is not going to be the worst thing, because the last thing is never the worst thing? That even death won't separate us from God. And God is true to His Word. But crossing the Jabbok River, he again has a fitful night's sleep. Laying down on the ground, he begins to sleep, and suddenly a man shows up and starts wrestling with him. It turns out it was God. Now here's another thing that I have found true in my own life. If I don't wrestle with God, God's going to come and wrestle with me. And this is exactly what happened. Jacob had his whole life to look back on, all the things that he had done, all the people he had mistreated, all of the lies he had made, all the tricks he had done. And it was coming back to haunt him that he was up against the wall. His brother Esau was coming, and there was nothing he could do about it. And God comes to him and wrestles with him to give him a new beginning and a new life and a new identity with a covenant that is for him and him alone. How is it that we always struggle with faith in that? That God has so much to promise us and we still struggle with it. God came and grabbed him and they wrestled, and God wouldn't let go, and Jacob wouldn't let go either. Now, to show you how merciful God is, the Scriptures tell us that it came to be daybreak. It was well known in that time that you could not see God face to face. If you looked upon God's face, you would die. As the dawn starts to come and the light grows lighter, God says, "Let me go because it's almost daybreak." This isn't God begging for mercy. This is God saying, "You better watch out. You're about to die." And Jacob says, "Not until you bless me." Sometimes, you know, that's what it takes. When we're struggling with God, when we're wrestling with God, we have to hold on to it so that even our own lives are not as important as getting what we need to get from God. And Jacob, I think, was ready to die right then and there rather than let go of God. When God is that important to us, God will bless us. And God blessed Jacob. He gave him a new name. Your name is no longer heel grabber. Your name is no longer trickster. From now on, your name is Israel, struggling with God. For you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have prevailed. This is Jacob's new identity, and it becomes the new identity for the people of Israel. And we are those people. We are those people by the taking of the new covenant through Jesus Christ. That we are invited to struggle with God and with humans and prevail by the mercies of God. But it takes that faith. It takes that struggling with Scriptures. It takes that dealing with the past and learning how to let go and forgive and accept the forgiveness that's been offered to you. And it takes listening to God as He gives you that calling to follow Him and do as He bids you. Sometimes that kind of struggling can leave you wounded, as it did with Jacob. The man struck him on the hip socket and he limped for the rest of his life. I've heard people say, you know, I struggled growing up and it was tough for me and I want better for my children. I don't want my children to struggle the way I did. And to them I say, I hope your children do struggle, because it is your struggle that have made you the person that you are that I admire so much. Every person I have ever admired got the way they are by the struggles that they went through and prevailed. So yes, I hope your children struggle, because I want them to have the character that you have. I want them to have that strength that you have. And I want them to grow up to know the Lord as you have. From this place we go. Struggling with God. Struggling with the Scriptures. Struggling with our faith. Recognizing our own shortcomings. Our own need for grace. Recognizing our own selfishness sometimes. But through it all, God beckons us and grabs us by the heel. Maybe strikes us on the hip socket. But we have that river to cross over to. A river when we cross, which God promises blessings and fulfillment. May it be so. Amen and amen.